Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Cindy, how did VBS go? Awesome. You want to say anything? You don't have to. It's great. It's great. We have a worship circle this Friday at 7. You don't want to miss it. It's really good. Come bring your instrument, whatever you play, or whatever you want to try to play. Women's Kinship is the 16th. That's a Saturday at Cindy Finlayson's house. Sorry, just give me a minute here to catch my breath. I'm so glad to see you guys. Oh, let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for all the ways that you love us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your peace. And help us to hear your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The 10th chapter of Luke, it starts out with Jesus sending 72 of his disciples, or his believers, to all the towns and places that he's going to go visit. And he sends them out two by two. And I'm always wondering, were they all friends? You have 72 people as a group. You know they don't all like each other. And he sends them out two by two. And I wonder, like, did they get to go with their best friend that's in the group? Because, like, one of them probably got stuck with Judas. I'm not going anywhere with that, really. Just starts the chapter out, so just some food for thought. In verse 5, Jesus tells them, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. And if not, it will return to you. What? What is that? I think we should be doing that. Yeah. We should definitely be doing that. But what is it? I don't know. I'm going to wait for next week when Jim preaches about this and tells us what it's all about. Jesus goes on to tell them how to behave in a town that welcomes them, and then what to do when a town does not welcome them. And for the record, calling down fire is not part of the deal. Now, the 70 disciples, they go out, and they do what Jesus said to do. It doesn't say how long they were gone for, but when they all came back, it says in verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So all 72 come back. They all returned with joy. I'm not sure why I'm even telling you about this part. This really doesn't have much to do, I don't think, with the sermon, but I'm so impressed that they all came back with joy. Like, what if we left here today and we did what Jesus said to do, and then we all came back next week full of joy? Wow. Yeah, I don't know. The next part of Luke 10 is Jesus telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you guys know how good I am at parables. So we're going to do that one on another day. But the last part of chapter 10 is where Jesus is at the home of Martha and Mary. So starting with verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I feel like every time I've ever heard about this, or every time it was a Sunday school lesson or a sermon, we were always told the same thing, and it was, don't be a Martha. You know, be like Mary, don't be like Martha. And this has always bothered me. And not just because I am a card-carrying Martha. Matthew, can I have my slide? Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Yeah, if you get 10 punches, you get a free Subway sandwich. Yeah. So I get annoyed at the don't be a Martha. Right? Because that implies that Mary is the good sister, because she sits at Jesus' feet. And Martha, well, Martha's the bad sister because she, what, is a busybody? Or because she's not listening? Or because she wants everything to be perfect? It's important for us to remember that this isn't a parable. This isn't a story that Jesus makes up. He doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is like two sisters who argue over hosting duties and housework. No, these are real people. There is no good sister or bad sister, and the only hero in this story is Jesus. Yeah. Now, Jesus, he's constantly traveling from place to place. So he counted on the kindness of friends and others to pick him up or put him up with all place to stay. They didn't really have a lot of hotels. So it's not like Jesus travels alone either. There's always disciples and students and just a crowd. So it's really generous of Martha to invite Jesus into her home. And you can see how she might be losing her mind in the kitchen trying to make sure she has enough of everything for everyone. And it's assumed that these are Lazarus's sisters. So these are great friends of Jesus. He knows them. This family and these sisters, they must have been close to Jesus. Because I don't think that you ask a formal guest for this kind of help. You don't ask a guest, hey, will you tell my lazy sister to get in the kitchen and help me? You don't bother a guest with that type of thing. This is something you ask a parent or an older sibling, a family member with authority, right? Like, Mom, Mary isn't helping me. You know, Dad, make her help me. So the fact that Martha goes to Jesus to get him to get on to Mary shows that these ladies are close to him. He is their Lord, and he's as close as a brother. So when Jesus corrects Martha, he's not upset with her. He doesn't yell at her. He doesn't say, Martha, get in here and listen to me. Be more like your sister. Jesus isn't trying to add Martha to his audience, right? He doesn't have a fragile ego and wants to pad his numbers. He is kind to Martha in his correction. Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And I have to admit, I'm really tempted to use this to my benefit. Because every Saturday, Jimmy and I get up and we do yard work in the morning. And we usually start around 8 o'clock. I'm sure our neighbors hate us. But it's Alabama. And after 10 a.m., the sun is literally trying to murder you. Yeah. So one Saturday, I'm just going to stay on the couch with my coffee and a book. And when Jimmy says, hey, are you ready to mow? I'm going to say, oh, no, thank you. Jamie has chosen what is better. And it will not be taken away from her. I'll let you guys know how that works out. Yeah. Jesus wants Martha to settle down and enjoy their time together as a family. He knows how temporary this time is. And it's nice that she wants everything to be perfect. She's not wrong for wanting to honor Jesus with a perfect home and a perfect meal. But at this point, it's like she's trying to earn a gift that she's already been given. because Jesus, the Son of God, has already accepted her invitation. He has chosen to stay at her house. Is there anyone more famous? How many people can say that Jesus, God incarnate, sat at their table? And can you imagine years later, someone asks Martha, "Hey, I heard Jesus of Nazareth stayed at your home. What was it like? What did he say?" And she says, "Oh, I don't know. I was in the kitchen the whole time making sure we had enough snacks." Jesus doesn't want that to be her story. He tells her Mary has chosen what is better. He doesn't say Mary is right and you are wrong. He's not trying to shame her. He's saying, "Martha, stop fussing. We don't want more chips and salsa at the table. We want you." The Bible doesn't tell us what Martha's response was. But remember, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus taught the disciples that when they're invited to a house, they're to offer their peace to the house. And if the people in the house accept it, the peace will rest on them. And if it's rejected, the peace will return to the disciples. So if Jesus taught this to the disciples, then surely this must be something he did. And since this family is so close to him, I am sure when Martha invited Jesus to her home, he offered his peace. And surely she accepted this peace. And if Jesus' peace is in her house, and he says, "Martha, quit fussing. We have all we need. Mary has chosen to be present with me. What is your choice?" I hope she collapsed in relief at the table. "All, oh, thank you. My feet are killing me, and all I've wanted to do all day is visit with you." In this translation, the NIV, the Lord says Mary has chosen what is better. But in some of the other translations, they had it as Mary has chosen the good part. And we like the good part, don't we? Like, do you ever watch SportsCenter on ESPN? It's like all the highlights of all the games from yesterday. It's just all the good parts. Or when you're flipping channels on TV and you're half there's a movie, your favorite movie's on, you're like, "Oh, it's almost to the good part." Or then you're bummed if you're like, "Oh, I missed the good part." We like the good part. Or what about a pan of brownies? Yeah. Which one's the good part? Is it the corner? The edges? Yeah? Or are you a child? Do you like the middle, the soft middle pieces? Yeah, you're a child. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just split the church. Sorry. We're going to have a meeting. No, brownies are all good. But the corner pieces are the better pieces, okay? Yeah. I was on the internet and I saw this brownie pan that had all these dividers in it so that when the batter cooked up, every piece was a corner piece. And I was like, "Lord, what have you done? The world doesn't deserve this kind of blessing," right? Yeah. Oh, you got that pan. Oh. That is so awesome. So Mary chose the good part. And there's enough good part for Martha to choose. And great news, there's enough good part for us to choose as well. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that when I hear sermons on this or teachings, the takeaway is usually don't be a Martha. And we're told to slow down and not be so busy. You know, it's like, well, your life is chaos and it's all your fault. You're so busy, you wouldn't even recognize Jesus if he was sitting at your dinner table. But I can't think of this story in that way anymore. And the reason is I was working on this sermon last month to preach at a nursing home. And I was praying to God, like, what should I teach my old folks? And I kept getting this story. And I said, but Lord, how am I going to preach about hectic schedules and massive distractions and our addiction to busyness and how we need to slow down our chaotic lives to people who are bedridden and bound to their wheelchairs and to their rooms, that some of them can't even leave without permission? What do I say to them? And he said, "Oh, Jamie, you'll figure it out." Have you ever had a moment where God has given you a task, something to do, and you realize he actually trusts you to do it? I don't know how I feel about it. So here's the thing. Martha isn't so anxious and distracted that she is completely unaware that Jesus is at her table. No. She's distracted because Jesus is at her table. Don't forget, she is the one who invited him. And I know that we all do this. I have. A million times. I will pray, "Lord, please come and be with me." And he shows up. And I start fussing. I'm like, "Oh, wait, let me go get my Bible. Should I stay in this chair or move to the comfy chair? Because this might take a minute. I want to be comfortable." And I'm going to turn my phone off. But wait, last time I had music playing on my phone, and that really helped a lot. So I'll just turn off my notifications. I'll leave the phone on, right? Let me get my bottle of water. I need my bottle of water. Okay, I'm ready to go. I am ready to get a blanket because it's chilly in here. God's standing there like, "What are you doing?" We have such good intentions, but we can turn our prayers into acts of busyness. And we get fussy. We invite the Lord and get fussy. And we come here to worship the Lord together. And we have to be careful not to get fussy. Do I sing? Do I raise my arms? I don't like these new songs. Do I sing what the lead singer is singing, or do I sing what the other vocalists are singing? Do I do the repeats? Do I sing with the lead? This song is old. We invite the Lord to our table and then we get fussy, or worse, we invite the Lord to our table and we ignore him. We're a Vineyard church, and it is no secret that the Vineyard church is a pretty casual church. I get to preach in a t-shirt and sneakers. I have purple hair. This is really casual. But we like it that way. I like it. You like it. Now, the sign out front, it tells the whole world that we start worship at 10:30. And the worship leader prays and asks the Lord to come join us. But even if she did not pray and ask this, his invitation still stands. He knows us. And if we have declared it to the streets that we worship God starting at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, you can be sure that the Lord is aware of this too. But often, there are barely 10 of us in here at 10:30, eagerly waiting to worship the Lord we invited. Now, I'm not talking about occasionally showing up late to church. I get it. I have a life too. Life happens. Something comes up with the kids. There's a catastrophe with the car or traffic. I am not talking about this. What I'm talking about is any consistent attitude of, "Yeah, you know, I can get there at 10:45. No one cares. I'll just miss the first two songs. It's no big deal." But it is a big deal. It's inviting the Lord to your house and showing up late on purpose. And I've done this, and you've done this. We have all done this. And I want you to know I'm not taking attendance, right? I don't have a mental roll call of who is late on a Sunday. I am way too busy for that. You have seen my Martha card. But at 10:30, a lot of the time, it is a ghost town in here. And there are more people in the band than in the seats. Now by 11 o'clock, the chairs are filling in. What's happening? So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, "Is she talking about me? Does she think I'm always late on purpose? How dare she?" I want you to know that I don't have a single name in my head. and I don't notice who is coming in and out during worship because my eyes are usually closed because I'm trying to keep myself from being distracted. I mean, except today. We all saw that my mom came in late today, right? I'm just kidding. Trying to lighten the mood. Trying to lighten it up. Thanks, Ma. So now that we have this invitation fresh in our minds, we can do better. And we can choose the good part. And we can honor the invitation that we, like Martha, have extended to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. And we are sorry for the times we invite you in and we get distracted and fussy and we ignore you. And we're sorry for taking our prayer life and our worship time for granted. Holy Spirit, will you help us with this? Will you turn our hearts toward God so that we want what he wants? And Lord, thank you for your correction. You are so kind in it, and you never shame us. You correct us and invite us back to the table we had walked away from. How are you this good? We love you, God, and we trust you, God. Amen.